to all the worlds. Prayers and peace be upon him. Amen. First, let me make some acknowledgments expressing our appreciation for the support and participation that we have here from the Muslim community, business community, businessmen, sponsored by the businessmen, but it's for the community. Families, family businesses are here. We thank Allah for this cooperation, this support, and we look forward to great investments. I heard some of the presentations. In fact, I know Brother Samir Muhammad, excellent businessman, noted businessman from Philadelphia. I felt his spirit. But I know him personally, the kind of business person he is. So we look forward to investment into his products and the other opportunities that was presented here today. Our future slaughterhouse in the state of New Jersey that we badly need. Imam Bilal was listening to his presentation. See, all these things is great opportunity for us for investment. But we are Muslims first. And our first investment has to be obedience to God. That's first investment. Investing in time in learning the Quran and following the life of the Prophet, Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, to the best of our ability. And trusting, investing trust into leadership. Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And Muslims do business with Muslims. Native Muslims and immigrant Muslims. We certainly should try to do business with our brother, our immigrant Muslim brothers, because our immigrant Muslim brothers really have more money than we have. Allah has blessed us. We have the Quran, and we have the life of the Prophet, and we have the leadership of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, and we have no money. Now we should think about that. And the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, he said, when a Muslim endeavors to do anything, he seeks to perfect it. So we should also have a share of this material. This material establishment in Newark, in this country, in this world. And if we support the leadership of Imam Wallace D. Muhammad and work with our immigrant Muslim brother and native Muslim brothers, giving the Imam the power to negotiate to give us economic stability for Muslims in this country, because Allah has blessed him with good relations with Christians, good relations with Jews, with good relations in the political circle. The President of the United States, just recently in Philadelphia, he attended the President's Summit. Praise be to Allah. So he is in the position, and Allah blessed him to be in that position because of his love for the Quran and teaching us the Quran, just the little light that we have is a reflection of his leadership. The new soul that we're developing, the new hearts, the new minds, the intellect that we're trying to work and get is from his leadership. We're drawing all this, praise be to Allah. We are drawing all of this from Imam Wallace D. Muhammad's leadership. Now, if we uplift him and support him and trust him, man, oh man, what we did in the first experience, that was nothing compared to the opportunity that can be done today in the world if we back Imam Wallace D. Muhammad. And I think we're ready. I believe we're ready. We're ready to invest in the CPC. In fact, many of us are now already members of the CPC. And many more will become members of the CPC. Alhamdulillah. And we will have economic stability so that we can have institutions, academic institutions, cultural centers, the things that our civilized neighborhood should have. New Africa, an identity, a cultural identity. So I'm not the main speaker. Really, I'm all ears. But I'm supposed to do something on Islamic climate for business success, and I just did it. So at this time, with no further ado, we want to bring before you Imam W.D. Muhammad. Takbir!
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you. Peace be with you. We praise God. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. The praise and the thanks is to Allah, the Lord, sustainer, the care, who cares for all the worlds. We witness that He is one and that there is no one sharing the rule of the heavens and the earth with Him. That He has all power and does not accept anyone to come to Him other than as a servant. This is the God. We pray the prayers, peace upon Muhammad the Prophet, to whom the Quran was revealed, Allah's servant and His messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ba'd. Prayers and the peace be on him and what follows of that salute to him. It's always a pleasure, a special pleasure for me to be here in Newark with you. And every time I come here, I learn of things that you are either thinking about doing or doing. And that keeps me having faith in you. The market was very attractive today. Good atmosphere out there and a good spirit, beautiful, beautiful. And it can't help but, as the Imam said, it can't help but have an effect on the surroundings, a healthy effect on the surroundings, our neighbors who are not Muslims and others, even the Muslims, if they're living around there, I'm sure they're having a better climate for their success. Brother Imam, I think you did an excellent job of addressing your topic. Because the climate for success, he said it most when he said that we are worshipers of Allah. And the most important thing is that we serve Allah, we worship Allah. Or be obedient, that's the word, same meaning. That we obey Allah, that we worship Allah, we serve Allah, we be obedient to Allah, that's the most important. And then that we care about each other in order to have success, a climate for success. Most of my efforts are just for that, to help change the way people look at us, to help us even have more faith in ourselves. To have people change their mind and say, I better look at these people again. So I was wrong. These people are more than I thought they were. You know? And I'm not talking about just people, small people. If we do what Allah wants us to do as Muslims in terms of publishing this religion or introducing it to others and to ourselves and others, if we do it as we're supposed to do it, we'll have rich people, business people, bankers, we'll have professional people, lawyers, doctors, everybody. looking at us, admiring us. We'll have government offices looking at us and reevaluating us and seeking a way to include us or to encourage us to come in the door. You see? So this is what we want. You can't grow without a climate for growth. And that's what the imam want to give us today. We can't grow without a climate for growth. The farmer plants his seed, but he has to have the climate for growth. If there's not the climate for growth, his seeds are going to die right there where he put them. He needs the climate for growth. And that's what we need. And if we live this life and express this life as Allah revealed it in the Quran and to Muhammad the Prophet who demonstrated it to us, we will have that climate for growth. We can't be angry more than we are happy. We can't be distrustful more than we are trustful. So we have to know how to accentuate the positive and eliminate the negative, and don't mess with Mr. In Between. And then we can be successful. Yes. And one thing, if you have it right, you're guaranteed success from Allah. Allah says, "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." He says the believer will certainly be victorious, successful. "Qad aflaha al-mu'minun." Allah says that. And I don't care if a person believes as a Christian or as something else. You find a real, true, sincere believer in any religion, they're faring better than people who don't believe. They may have trouble, but they can carry their troubles. Praise be to Allah. Now, I want to talk to the business people, but I don't know. It's hard to talk to business people and not talk to Muslim hearts, you know. But I'm going to try tonight. I'll try to do both, but mainly with the business community in my view, in my focus. Let's look what Allah says about our creation. Allah says, and He began the creation of man from clay. وَبَدَى خَلْقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ طِينٍ. And He began the creation of man from clay. Began. So if we're hearing this and we want to know how it all started, we're getting the answer. God says He began it from clay. From clay. Now God created us. He said He created us from dust. He created the man, Adam. Adam, our father, peace be upon him. Created him from dust. But Allah also says that He created them from water, right? And then other things too. But the main elements are three. Clay, water, dust. And then in order to have Him live to become the living creature He wanted, then He breathed into Him of His own spirit, right? So we have clay and water and dust, and then the breath of life. Huh? Then the breath of life. Now, giving an offering to the business people here, and it doesn't mean just those who have business, it means those who have an ambition to be business or have a desire. You're aspiring to be a business person. You one day want to be established as a business person. Speaking to you too, even though you have no business now. What I'm getting at is this, that we need certain kinds of interest and knowledge. You need a certain kind of interest and knowledge. Are certain kinds of interest in knowledge. That's one, not just one kind. And you need to know something about the psychology of the human person to be successful in business, I'm not saying go to take psychology at some school or university or college or something. No, I'm not saying that. Psychology, in the sense that I'm using it now, it means know how people behave, how they tend to behave, what influenced them to accept your invitation or to come to your offer, you're offering them to business deal or something. How to influence them. The more you know about the basic behavior, basic nature and tendency in human behavior, you don't need a big long course in psychology, you just need a few things. In fact, knowledge of human behavior, in my understanding, in my studies, I've come to the conclusion that the first ones to learn about human behavior were the business world, the business people in the business world. And they're the ones who have learned more about the psychology of behavior, especially behavior in the marketplace, than anybody else. Yeah. So I'm getting at some fundamental things that Allah gives us. Now just keep listening. Made the man from clay. So what does that say? That means you need to give a little thought to clay. God says think, reflect. Reflect means don't think about it once. Think about it once and then think about it again. And if necessary, again and again and again and again. Think about it as long as you are getting more understanding or more information or better knowledge of the thing that you're seeking to know or to look at, you know, or to think about. So clay, when you think about clay, clay is what they call a pliable material. It conforms to the pressures that's put on it if it is pliable clay, not baked clay, hard clay, burnt clay. If it's what we call the raw clay, not cooked, not baked, then it responds to the pressures that's put on it. So if you want to shape it round and you take something round and you press against it, it becomes round. If you want it flat and you press something flat against it, it becomes flat. So it yields obediently to the hand of the potter. Right? That's how they put it. That's how they say it. It yields obediently to the hand of the potter. So if God says he made us from clay originally, he's saying your first life form was obedient, just like clay, just like the fresh clay, unbaked clay. That's what he's saying. So in your original nature is obedience. That's what God is saying. In your original nature is obedience. Your first nature is obedience. And that's the baby comes here ready to obey from the womb of the mama, the stomach of the mothers. So this is what God is saying to us, that your first nature is to obey. But look, obedience in a child can be taken advantage of, can it? The wrong person influencing that child may take that child out of his nature, out of his good nature, you see? So this is a good thing, but it's a thing that can be exploited too. You see, it can be taken advantage of, and you can make people bad. They can be made good, they can be made bad, made from clay. But that obedience was for God. That original, that first obedience was for God. It's difficult to make a person wrong. You have to work on it for a while. You don't just right away make a person a bad person. It takes time. It ain't easy. It's not a one-day's job. Sometimes it's so difficult to make them bad, you give up. Go and find you somebody else to work on. Yeah. Yeah. So the original nature God gave us is obedience. And that obedience is put there for God. It's for God. So if the mother supports what God wants, then that child responds more readily, is more comfortable with whatever the mother wants from that child in terms of its obedience to her. And so likewise for the world, the streets, whatever, you know. Likewise for the business market, you know. The person come in there with that original nature into the business market, then that person is going to respond to the things in the way that God wants that person to respond, most likely. So if you're selling something that's bad and they recognize, oh, this is bad, this is illegal, or this is hateful, or this is injurious to me, or this is harmful, they pass by. They don't want that. But the wicked ones are so clever, they know how to sell you something bad and hide it. They make it look good, just like Satan. He sold something bad to the man, but he made it look good. Made it look so good, the man bought it. May I take off my jacket? Thank you. It's a little warm. The dress code for the man in Islam is cover a normal situation, cover everything except the face, the hands, and the feet. In normal situations. But if he has to do some work in the public, like digging ditches or something, then the cost of the job he's doing, he's hot or he's getting wet and messed up with mud or something like that, he can expose for the sake of the work, to make the work less punishing on him. He can expose up below the breast. You got to bring it up to below the breast. And the pants have to be at least down to the knees. That's the minimum, the maximum, pardon me, of exposure for that the man can have in the public. So I'm covered very nicely, right? Okay. Yes. Now, if you bake clay, heating it dries it out, makes it rigid. So if you form it the way you want and then you bake it, it will hold that position unless it's broken. You have to break it to change the shape. And Allah says of the man made of clay, he said, and we made him from sounding clay. Not just clay, but also from sounding clay. So here are the two clays. The soft clay doesn't make a sound. Doesn't make sound. But the baked clay, if you put it in the form of a bell or a bowl or something, you can tap it and it rings. It'll ring. It even have like a ring. It'll ring. It gives off a sound. And this sound is saying that the human being was made to have speech and to utter expressions. That's what it's saying. That the human being was not only made to be obedient, but the human being was made to have speech, intelligent speech, and to have utterance, to express himself. So the nature is obedient and also expressive. It wants to express itself. So God made us to obey, and God made us to express ourselves. So if we respect this in people, that their obedience is for God, not for me, so I should, as a businessman, I should respect the obedience Allah wants in the people who come to the market. But the Satan won't respect that, right? So we are Muslims. So our sensitivity should be for what God wants for that person. So if God says this is bad for that person, we shouldn't sell it. Or if we think, maybe God didn't even mention this thing, and it's something new, and God not mentioned anywhere. But if we think, if our own good common sense tells us that this ain't good for a human being, you shouldn't sell it, right? So you know, our principles should be stronger in our life than principles are in most of the people's lives. Because Allah makes very clear to us what we are supposed to, what we are supposed to do, you know. It's very clear. So what I'm getting at, I'm on it. The need to work for purity, purification. The need to work for purity. Purity of intentions, purity of deeds, purity of actions, purity of involvements, purity, righteousness, an ethical society. You see, serving God. That's what we need to be sensitive to. And if we love that, Allah will be with us. If we love doing that, if we love it, supporting that, if we love having the business life and the business environment and the business relationship with our customers or with our client that Allah wants, believe me, Allah is going to be with you. And if business is not for you, Allah will help you find your way out of business into what's for you. But if business is for you, you're going to be successful. Allah is going to be with you. Allah will be your business partner, your hidden business partner. Allah will be your hidden business partner. And if you got Allah as a hidden, this hidden business partner, you don't have to worry about anything. Just put your best foot forward and your best effort, and Allah will give you the results. But Allah says also that He made the man from water. Water, right? Now, water, what Allah is saying when He says made the man from water? Well, the human being gets sad and water comes from the eyes. And the human being gets happy sometimes and water comes from the eyes. Yes. So, you know, knowing the nature of the person, the sensitive nature of human beings, that certain things make them sad, certain things hurt them, offend them, and certain things that make them happy and contented, pleased. Business world, they use this knowledge. They really use this knowledge. So you don't want your customers to just come in and see what you got for sale. You want to be aware that they need an atmosphere, an environment that says, hey, this, I feel good here. Yeah, so you should work on that, you know. Even if you're talking to them one-on-one, you want to make that atmosphere while they're talking to you pleasant. This is business psychology. And it comes from getting what God gave us, knowledge of the original nature of the human person. Now, there's also that God says also of us that He made us from dust. Dust. Now, dust is sensitive too. Yes, it is. If it gets dry enough, you can't hardly pass your hand like that by. You don't have to touch it. Just pass your hand like that. It might move and you might start causing it to ride the air. Right? Yes. So it's sensitive too. Very sensitive. Fine dust is very sensitive. But what kind of sensitivity is this? One is the sensitivity of the soul, of the emotional side of the soul. And the other is a sensitivity addressing the material side of the soul. Man is materially sensitive too. Human life is materially sensitive too. Materially sensitive. Now, before we have establishment, wealth, business to support us, we are poor materially, aren't we? The dust represents also poverty. Poverty. And it's usually people who are poor in this world, materially poor, penniless, broke, nothing, got nothing. It's usually those people that are materially sensitive. They see a man with money, and they either get all happy, hey, he got some money, man, look at that dude, man, that dude got money. Or they look at him and say, the nigga stole it. Sensitive, right? Very sensitive. Yeah. So it made the man from dust. Now, also, knowledge. And knowledge. You can be poor in knowledge, right? And knowledge, all knowledge comes from the study of the material world. All knowledge. All knowledge comes from the study of the material world. Because everything is put in a material casing or package. Even our soul is put in a material package. Our bodies, our flesh and blood and bones, etc. Put in a material package. So if you don't study that, you're not going to learn much about the psychology of that person. You got to learn how to express themselves through the material to know what the abstract life is. That not true and plain? Yes. So also those who are poor in knowledge are also like dust. So dust is not a metaphor or a symbol of just one thing in the human makeup. Dust is a symbol for material poverty or just no existence, no business existence, no financial establishment at all, completely without any financial establishment. It's dust. Also, no knowledge, dust. That's dust again, dust. And a person without any knowledge, dumb, ignorant, don't know anything, that person is like floating material. He's too ignorant to find the ground and stand up on it. So he's like floating material. So this is dust is symbolic of the poverty of the brain or the intellect, and also the poverty of the pockets. Now, an example of the poverty of the brain is given in Prophet Job of the Bible. He was a spiritual man, obedient to God, and he's a man of faith. But now his companions, they're trying to persuade him not to be too much in faith and not in knowledge. That you have to be in knowledge too. And so, but since he didn't have any knowledge to go on, or to apply in his situation, Job, peace be upon him, he said, I refuse to listen to you. I'm going to wait on God. And they were trying to use logic. But he didn't have enough education. He wasn't a man of knowledge like they were. You see? So they were trying to use knowledge, and they were deceitful. They weren't men of faith like he was. So you had two extremes. These people were missing in faith, and he was missing in knowledge. The description of him is a man sitting in the dust. A man sitting in the dust. That's the description of Job in that situation. A man sitting in the dust. But that's where God began his creation of man. But he's saying that all men had to begin that way. No man was born in the world established in knowledge. No man was born in the world established in wealth unless his father or somebody left it to him. And then he had to wait until he matures enough to know what he got. You see? So actually all of us are born in life. But it's also speaking to the philosopher, the thinker. The thinker. It's addressing the philosopher, the thinker. Man, the history of the intellect. How did man come to know the sciences, to get insight into the workings of things, nature, etc., the world, the objective world, the visible world? How did he come to get this knowledge? He had to first go on faith. He had to first go on faith. Faith, that's what was supporting him. Faith. And faith is like dust. Dust rise upon faith. If nothing to disturb it, it'll settle down on the ground, on the surface. But if the wind blows a little bit, it goes with the wind. So it trusts whatever is there to determine its situation. Whatever is there to determine the situation, it gives itself over to that thing. Whether it's wind or whether it's water or whether it's stillness of the air or whatever it is, it decides where that dust is going to go and how that dust is going to be, what situation it's going to be in. So that's faith, symbolic of faith. So originally, the intellect is given to faith. And so it is with the man who wants to become a businessman or a woman who wants to become a businesswoman. Before you have knowledge of how to do that, you have to have faith. And that's where we are right now. We are needing to have faith in business. Faith in business. We need to have faith in knowledge so we can come out of the poverty, the poverty of no knowledge or the poverty of ignorance. Huh? We need to have faith. We need to have faith to come from no business to some business. Faith, that's what you need first. And that's where all of us have to begin right there. You know, for the scientist, the thinker, who thinks on the material scientifically, for the scientist, what he wants to do in order to understand the material he's looking at, he wants to break it down. He wants to break it down. He wants to break it down to its smallest units, to its smallest units, so he can see how it began to be constructed, how it started to be a construction. So he wants to be a solid mass or solid whole. He wants to break it down to its smallest unit. So he wants to make it dust. Yes, he wants to make it dust. So here the dust is symbolic also of the desire and the intellect to analyze. To analyze the matter. The analytical tendency in the rational mind. Right? So before you really know, before you really perceive the thing correctly, you have to analyze it. And they wanted Job to hurry up and finish this thing. But analyzing takes some time. So they leave me alone with my Lord. I'm going to wait for my Lord. He was trusting that God was going to guide his intellect to think about these things, to analyze these things, and come up eventually with what he should have. That's faith. Faith. But also, but it's not just faith, blind faith. It's faith in God and faith in the great resources God gave you. Your own human resources. That's the kind of faith we need to be successful in business. Faith in Allah and faith in our human resources. beginning with the rational mind, the intellect. Trust yourself more. Believe in yourself more. That you can obey God and get the best use of your human resources. And don't let this world rush you. You stay comfortably with God, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You stay comfortably with Allah and have faith and work hard with your tools and keep your faith. That's what happened in the time of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be on him. He was the greatest man that could possibly be on earth. He was the best of Allah's creation, perfect creation of Allah. And because he was such a man, he inspired others and he motivated others. He moved others. And he imparted faith to others. His strength just went out from him. Just went into the chest of another person and made them. There. Say, are you still not going with us? No, I'm going with you. I'm ready. Praise be to Allah. Now he says, but when I have inspired him of my spirit, or when I have given him of my own spirit. Now what does that mean? What is that talking about? When that particular thinking condition in man or in woman, when that particular thinking condition discovers, I see something in this scheme of matter. Something designed this for a purpose. And I'm a part of this scheme, and I'm here in this for a purpose. Now, it's not my will that I should seek, but the will of the designer that I should seek. And then he starts to plan the town to please his Lord. Okay, angels, make your sense that to him. Right? Even the jinns, all of you, make sense of that to him. Isn't that wonderful? So Allah is telling us that if we get in the nature, in the form that he wants for us, and if we find his will and follow it, angels are going to bow to you. That means they're going to help you. That's what it means. Making sense that to you mean they're going to be in accord with you. And the prophet said that the servant of God strives to obey his God so much so that after doing it over a long period of time, he becomes so much in accord with his God that when he speaks, it's as though his God spoke. If he strikes you with his hand, it's as though God struck you. That's what the prophet says. And I believe it. Yes, and I believe it. I know the prophet had that. He had that. And some of his followers too, you know. And even in the battles, Allah says of those who throw, says when you threw, it wasn't you who threw. It was Allah who threw. Yeah, so your hand was doing it, but who it really was? God Almighty. God Almighty. Because they were so much in accordance with God's will that God was in everything they were doing. Now, you know, that's a long, long ways to go, but I have it in my nature to want to get there. Maybe you all, you're not patient with something like that. But at least like it. Oh, I wish I love that. If you love it, it's going to grow inside of you, and you'll become more and more, I would say, you'll become more and more adapted to the disciplines, disposition and disciplines that will make you very, very successful. Very successful. Now, we got more than that's working for us. Allah didn't permit this world, white rule, to do what it did to us